Our scripture lesson comes from Hebrews chapter 12, the first 12 verses. Some people know this as Moses' book, because this book is where Moses learned how to make coffee. He brews it. I'll let you think about that one for a minute. Hebrews chapter 12, the first 12 verses for the sermon title, Did You Know? The writer of Hebrews says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race which is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that words of encouragement that addresses you as sons, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone who accepts him as a son. Endure the hardships as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit it to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained for it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him in prayer. Heavenly Father, wake us up. Let us hear the words that you have given for us today. Strengthen our hearts through it, that we may be better able to serve you and speak openly of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. I have always prided myself on a few very simple truths about me. Yes, I know. Pride goeth before the fall. Paul, you get a big head when you start talking about pride. But I've always kept it in my heart that I have a few very simple truths that I know. Number one about me, I am a great lover of history. I love history. I believe in the adage, those who do not know it are doomed to repeat it. And I'm a living proof of that. Most men are a living proof of history. When you're young, you're taught how to hold a hammer. And if you hold a hammer wrong, it will teach you the lesson over and over again. And for those of you who don't understand how to hold a hammer, if this is your hammer handle, your thumb always goes up on it. Not like this, and you swing from here, not here. Believe me. How many times have you hit your thumb using a hammer? Say amen. How many more times are you going to hit your thumb with a hammer? Say amen. That's the simplicity of history. That I have gained great knowledge because of the people around my life. And I work to retain that knowledge and use it where it's best. I'm also proud to say that I know a great many, many, many things about the state of Maryland. In specifically Frederick County, and now to a lesser degree Washington County, as I spend more and more time up here. In short, I know what I know, and that's it. And so I thought I had it all covered until Christmas this past year. Then I learned I don't know anything. You see, every year Wendy goes up to the wilds of West Virginia to go and see her dad over Christmas. And every year I figure out a way that I don't have to go. Now, before you start judging me, it's a long drive. And I've been married to this woman for 19 years. And she lived on Eastern Shore. Now, I want you to be a little bit sympathetic toward me. She lived in Chestertown, which is a beautiful town. I loved going down there and seeing everything that it had to offer. I hated that drive. I hated that drive with a blinding passion. Because you know what? There ain't no way to get there from here. There ain't but two ways. One is from the top of the state down or across that horrible bridge. I'm not scared of the bridge. I'm the one that drives over real close when you're on the bridge. You know, that right-hand lane where the girders are open. And I wait till everybody's looking out the window and I'm pointing stuff out. And then I ease the car over there real quick and go, "Whoa!" And everybody in the car screams and I get yelled at for the next half an hour. But that's funny. I'm not afraid of any of that. It is a boring drive. And there's always traffic on that stupid bridge. And they're always working on it. And for the past 19 years, I've had to go down there. I hated that drive. But I went because I'm married. And she would hit me if I didn't. But sometime back, Wendy's dad decided he didn't want to live on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. He said, "I want to move up to Western Maryland or someplace in West Virginia." Yeah, I'm thinking Falling Waters, Charlestown, Martinsburg, something like that, right up the road. No! He moves all the way up to the tip of West Virginia. What's the name of that town he lives in? Springfield, West Virginia. Above Romney. So we used to have to drive an hour and 45 minutes to get to her dad's house on the Eastern Shore. But we don't have to go across that bridge anymore. But do you know how far away he lives now? An hour and 45 minutes! And usually she goes up when I'm working or I'm on call and I can't get released. Last year I wasn't on call. Last year she made the announcement, "You're taking me to see my father." Okay, fine. I get that. And in my aggravation, because I have to do something I don't want to, I learned about the town of Old Town, Maryland. I didn't even know it existed. Old Town, Maryland was founded in the 18th century and was originally called the Shawnee's Old Town because of its site of a Shawnee, a Merry Indian village, abandoned about 10 years earlier. A little town founded by the Shawnee Indians. The prefix was dropped and it just became Old Town. And it soon became a busy part of the national road. That Old Town was the place you went through. It became a bustling center. It grew. And the mountain passes went through there. In 1741, Thomas Crisop established a trading post. And it grew. And people came there. And finally, speculators of the Ohio Company, seeing how close they were to the Potomac River, made it a trade route. It's beautiful. A post office was established there in 1870. The Chesapeake and Ohio Canal reached Cumberland, Maryland, going by it. The B&O Railroad continues to be a major carrier, now known as CSX, has railroad tracks going by it. In 1975, though, the railroad left. There wasn't a depot anymore. Now the train just goes straight on through it. In 1924, a 6-classroom auditorium brick school was erected along Main Street. It was the first graduating class there from 1925, and in 1939, they built a brand new high school in Old Town. The high school flooded, And in 2000, the 76th and final class graduated from Old Town High School, and they closed it down. Now it's privately owned, and there's a restaurant in it. It's an unincorporated town that the 2010 census placed at a population of, are you ready? 86. My kind of town. I wouldn't know anything about it. But because of Google Earth, or Google Maps, which is destined to get me in more trouble than I could ever imagine possible, I sat down and I determined that I was not going to drive the same way that we'd driven every time to West Virginia that we always do, which is to go up 70 to 68 to Cumberland and go down with 219, 2 whatever it is, down through all these towns where everybody in front of me drives slow and and the whole time everybody in the car is not talking to me. And I'm bored. And I try to talk to them. And Wendy's knitting or reading. And she will look up after I've been speaking to her and go, what? Huh? And I'm not even allowed to play my music in the car at the volume that I want. And my children in the back, they're all heads down doing this thing with their phones or playing with their game things. And what about that? I got to drive. You know, in our day, we piled in a 1966 Bonneville Pontiac four-door. That thing went from this point clean back to the end of the building. You had to have a land yacht license. We didn't have any of that stuff. We got yelled at for sticking our arms out the window because my dad couldn't see out the rearview mirror. And don't you ever ask about turning that air conditioner on. Who do you think we are, Rockefellers? But Google Maps, I can look down on things and see roads where they go and make notes in my little book that says, I bet there's something on this road worth seeing, old cars or old houses. Let's find a new way to go. We'll leave earlier than we normally would. It might take 2 hours. And I'm sitting there searching, and all of a sudden I was like, well, there ain't but one way to cross the Potomac River. And then I saw Old Town. And the Old Town Low Tide Toll Bridge. Oh boy! The Old Town Toll Bridge is a single lane crossing, baby. Built in the 30s in 1937, Mr. Carpenter, by an act of Congress, obtained the permits to build this, saving residents from having to go clean up to Cumberland or down through Hancock. They could cut right through there, and he charged them a toll. Built his own bridge. It was for the days of smaller cars. He used blueprints and had the Army Corps of Engineers construct that bridge, and it was his until 1971. In 1987, the bridge was purchased, and when Charles Walter, who purchased it, passed away in 1991, his wife kept running it. But in 1999, the government came along and said, well, this is not safe. Now, if you've never seen the bridge, you may tend to agree with them, but I say, where's your sense of adventure? There are no side rails on it. There are no guard rails. When you turn to look at it, you're like, oh boy, am I Indiana Jones? Am I going to cross this thing while it's breaking as I drive across? But no. So the government, now listen, here's where it gets exciting. The government deemed it unsafe and put barricades up on it. And as a monument to their town and a dedication, residents went down and tore the barricades down and kept on using the road. And the government didn't know what else to do, so the government came along in 2012 and gave grants from Maryland and West Virginia and completely rebuilt and restructured the bridge so that it's strong enough to hold a dump truck going across it. It still looks like it's crazy unsafe, and you can't cross it when the water's up. So I see this bridge on the map, and I'm thinking, oh my golly, there's an adventure for Paul, and possibly stuff in fields and fence rows waiting. And so I called them. I said, is this place still in business? And this is the answer I got. Yeah, but we had to raise the toll. You have my attention. How much was it? Well, it used to be 50 cents. And then I heard the angel sing. And then she's and the beautiful woman on the phone and her family that run it said, we had to raise it up to $1.50. Oh, break my heart. Here's $5. I'm going to drive back and forth across a couple times. And I was so excited. Here is a memorial, a monument. Did you know about this obscure little bridge standing in the middle of nowhere? This is a memorial and a monument to a time gone by when people used their own ingenuity and believed in something and fought back and stood up and said, no, we're not going to let the world shut us out. And I was so wound up about crossing this thing. I showed her pictures. I went and called them every day. Is the bridge open? Because you're supposed to call. Yes, it's open. And they have a disclaimer. If you come by and we're not there, the bar will be up. Just put your money in the box when you go by. I thought, and it's what I thought for real, I thought that when I crossed the bridge from Maryland to West Virginia, I'd actually go into the town of Mayberry. When Christmas Day comes, or we go up on the, we went up on Christmas Eve day, and we were all prepared. I was going to take a turkey up there. She'd done a honey baked ham and whatever, and I was so excited. I didn't care about anything else. We were going to her father's. Yeah, I can't wait to go, man. We're going to cross the bridge. And then 2 days before, it started raining. And I said, Lord, if you really love me, make it stop raining. He made it rain harder. And I called that morning, and the phone wasn't answered. You have to see this place. It's a little brick building with two arms that go up and down, and there's a little side building up there that looks almost like an enlarged porta pot where the office is, and the post office there is about this wide. And I was stopped. And I called, and the phone rang and rang, and finally the message picked up. Hello, this is the Old Town Low Tide toll bridge. We regret to inform you it's closed until further notice because water's crossing the bridge. Why do you hate me? And I didn't get to cross it. And as of this day, I still haven't crossed it yet. We're going up there sometime. I'm going to pray for a drought. What's that? Have you crossed that thing? Has anybody in here gone across that bridge? You going across that bridge, Hunter? Man, you know what? I don't like you anymore. How many people in this room knew about it? Let me see your hands. Yeah. Did you know that such a thing existed? When you were lost to sin, did you know that such a gospel existed? Now, you've seen plenty of them. There's a bunch of people in here today wearing one around your neck. But we never really stopped to consider what that is or what it meant. Memorial Day weekend holds a lot of special thoughts to a great deal of people. If you're down in D.C. this weekend, you can join the motorcyclists riding to the Vietnam Memorial to remember that. Believe it or not, for a great number of years, I participated in that ride. It's very powerful. And the one thing that you see over and over again is that monument, that memorial. If you look at the painting Rembrandt did of the three crosses, I've seen that painting. I don't know which museum it resides in. Wendy and I have great debates over when we're going to go see museums. With the way my knee hurts, right now I'm winning. But then we figured out that some of those museums have them electric buggies, and I'm afraid I'm about to lose. Because we won't go to the museum I want to go to. We're going to go to the art museum. There are pieces in there that I want to see, and I think that painting is at the National Gallery. I think. But within that painting, Rembrandt shows these three dark crosses. Christ in the middle, the two thieves, And it's a barren painting. It's so hard to look at. When you look at it, that they say, and I've seen it, the first thing you naturally, your attention is drawn to the center cross, which Jesus died. And then you would look at the crowd gathered around by the foot of the cross, and you would be impressed and taken away by the faces surrounding it and the actions of the people that saw to it he died. Finally, your eyes drift to the edge of the painting. And I've done this. And you catch sight of another figure almost hidden in the shadows. Critics say that that's Rembrandt himself, having painted himself into the picture, for he recognized that his sins helped nail Jesus to that memorial. A lot of people may think, why in the world did you choose Hebrews 12 as a discipline scripture? Then you weren't listening. Hebrews chapter 12, the first 13 verses, lays out something very clear. It lays out the suffering and pain that Christians ought to feel by being able to follow Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget that. We get all happy in our position. We get all lost in who we are. Hey, you know, and it's a beautiful story Sarah shared. I just accepted Jesus Christ. I'm 66 years old. I just accepted Jesus Christ. I'm 80 or 9 or 15 or 21, whatever it is. When that moment comes over, the Hebrew writer is saying, you have accepted what Jesus has done. His death, his blood, his spilling on that cross is more than you can fathom. And you ought not to allow the weaknesses and frailties of this life to draw you away from it. It stands as a memorial, a monument, looking at you as if to say, did you know that my son died here for you? A lot of people wear crosses. I'm fine with it, whatever. You see them on these pop music singers nowadays. Pop music, the right word to use is that going out of time. I'm so old, and I'm so tired, Toddy, all the time.
Musicians.
What's that?
Musicians.
Musicians?
Yeah.
They still call them that?
Yeah.
You know, the ones that sing today really ain't, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Music stopped with Flat and Scruggs. I'll give you that lesson later. I'm sorry, with Hank Sr. But look, a lot of them wear these crosses and they don't understand. And sometimes you feel like saying to them, did you know what that means? Did you understand it? The Hebrew writer is laying it out for us very clearly that because of who we are, because of what we have accepted, because of the fact that we have said, I will stand up for Jesus Christ, we have to be prepared. The verse in there, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And most of us never will. Most of us. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Some people think when we're going through these hard times that we're being disciplined and rebuked unfairly. I don't understand, Lord. Why? The way is so clear to me. I wanted to cross that bridge in the worst way. I wanted to. My family would have suffered greatly at my decision because it would have probably added some time to our trip because I would have had to look at things. Instead, we went a different way. I was bound and determined not to ever go the same way. And we pulled into the parking lot of a Chick-fil-A, and while we were sitting there and we were getting chicken sandwiches, guy pulls in with an old Ford tractor on his trailer. Old one. And Buck comes walking out and he stops. And I'm watching him as he goes over. He trucks right beside me. God is a funny God. I'm telling you right now. I'm in the Chick-fil-A down in Winchester, Virginia, I think. And all of a sudden, sitting beside me is an old tractor on a trailer. I'm like, and I can't touch it. I can't even buy it. And Buck comes out and he walks at it. And it launches into a conversation that will last the next 45 minutes, ending with these words, "Daddy, I'd like to have one of them." And it just so happens that I had one of them. And now I don't, because he took it. I have to figure that part out later. Had I gone the other way, I wouldn't have had that chance. If we discount that memorial that Jesus Christ left us, that monument, into obscurity, we miss out the opportunity to speak openly about the sufferings and the worth of them. Did you know that it's okay to suffer for Jesus Christ? The Hebrew writer goes on and talks about discipline, and he lays into it pretty good. He says, look, when our Father, who has accepted you as sons, is now disciplining you, don't turn away from the rebuke. Don't turn away from the pain. Don't turn away. Because the very fact that He is doing this shows that He loves you. Because on the other end will come the grace and mercy so destined to be given to you. Had you not accepted, had you not been counted, He would not have that time for you. Verse 12. I'm sorry, 11. No discipline seems pleasant at that time. Painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. For the entire length of this country, and I'm only talking about this country, I'm not talking about Europe or the world in general, for the entire length of this country, men and women have stood up and said, I will answer the call, and went to a place horrible. Those who went to war and did not come home saw the pain, saw the suffering, and teach us the lesson of freedom. We talk a lot about Vietnam, but there's World War II, Civil War. One of the most intriguing monuments on the Gettysburg battlefield draws me to it. For as some of you may or may not know, I am a Mason. And there's a statue up there called Brother to Brother. There's two men laying on the battlefield. One laying, one standing. One laying is dying. And wears the script and coat of a Confederate soldier. The one standing wears the coat and script of the United States Army. And being handed to him is all of his possessions with the words, "See to it, I'm remembered." Those men and women that have died in our service deserve that memory. Not the least of which is Jesus Christ, who set that tone. In John chapter 15, we hear those words from Jesus Christ Himself talking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will become more fruitful. The pain. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he could do nothing. Nothing. Jesus later goes on to say, greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. I get pretty emotional around that piece of cloth. I hate singing the Star Spangled Banner. It is my number one favorite song of all times. I am the first one up on my feet, hand on my heart, looking around ready to smack the hat off your head or help you put your hand where it belongs. If I see you somewhere's not doing it, and I can never get through that stupid song. just about the time for the rocket's red glare. That's when I'm... Because it's a memorial. It's a monument. It's reminding you, didn't you know that as Francis Scott Key sat on that boat, he thought his life was over. And the words that he was penning were not to become the national anthem. These were words that he would hope someone would find and read so that they would understand his love of God, of Jesus Christ, and of this country coming together. Never meant to be what it was. And he lived through it. And it became our monument, our memorial. We have to remember. I've told this story, but it's been a while. It is with gratitude that a broken down, wore out old man comes to visit a pier off the eastern seacoast of Florida near every night. He did this every night until his death in 1973. He would return walking slowly, stooped over with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to him and he would feed them from his bucket. You see, in October 1942, he was the captain of a B-17 fighter group. He was on his way to deliver a message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea, but this unexpected detour would hurl him into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the great B-17 became lost and out of reach of radio and run out of gas. The men ditched into the ocean, and for nearly a month, this captain and his companions would fight water, the weather, the scorching sun. They spent many nights as sharks bumped against their rubber raft. Who would like to be in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in a rubber raft with sharks bumping against it? I don't think I would. The largest raft was 9 by 5. The biggest shark was 10 feet long. But of all their enemies at sea, one proved the most formidable, starvation. 8 days after rations were gone or destroyed by salt water, they were going to die unless a miracle took them away. In the captain's own words, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry read the service that afternoon. They finished with a deliverance prayer and a hymn of praise to their God. There was some talk, but he said, I dozed off and I pulled my hat down over my head and I was asleep. The captain, still talking, said, something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull, but I don't know how. I just knew. And everyone else knew it, too. No one said a word, but peering out from under my hat without moving my head, I could see the expression. They were staring at this seagull in the middle of nowhere where it should not have been. If I could only catch it, it meant food. And the rest, they say, is history. The captain caught it. Its flesh was eaten. Its remains were used to catch fish. The survivors stained their hopes because of a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. Now you know that he never forgot, because every Friday evening, the man responsible for air flight in this country, in the commercial jets that we fly in, including Pan American, Boeing, McDonnell Douglas, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, walks down to the end of the pier to remember that which saved his life. Brothers and sisters, I make no great long drawn-out speech here about what this day means. We all know it. All across this world, even today, Christians are dying in the service of Jesus Christ and shedding that blood. All across this world today, there are those who are standing in a uniform somewhere, never knowing if this is their last moment. Did you know why they did it? Because they love you. Starting with the love of Jesus Christ that walked to that monument and gave up everything for us. Now you know. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you We thank you for the things that you give and for the things that you take away. We thank you for the things that hold us close and for the things that teach us a lesson, no matter how hard, Father. But on this day, I'd ask that we take these moments somewhere throughout the day and remember those who gave everything for us. And thank Jesus Christ for being our loving and complete Savior. Watch over and keep us through these words, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.